Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, back in action. If it's Tuesday, it's that time again. It's the Gross Misconduct Podcast, hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend, Kip Gross, out there in Newport Beach, where it's a little cooler than where I'm at in the San Fernando Valley. Yours truly, Mark Mancini. 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss this show, catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcast, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in place, hand off the mic. Kip, first of all, how are you? I want to send prayers to your girlfriend out there in Hawaii that was out there and everything. Boy, that is a travesty, to say the least.
Yeah, good to be on again, Mark, with you. Yeah, it's been a kind of a rough about 10 days since all this started, since last Tuesday, those fires in Maui. And yeah, she's from there. She was actually there during it. She was actually right there about 20, 30 minutes before it all happened. And so she's back here in Newport now, though, and everything's good. But it's just the devastation there is just incredible. It's crazy, and it's the biggest wipeout in 100 years, they've said. And it's if you just go on and look at it a little bit, some videos, it's total destruction. And anybody that can help out, please do.
No doubt about it. Hey, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you as well.
KipGross.com is one way, and then my email address is beagamer@gmail.com. B as in boy, E as in Edward, A as in Adam, gamer@gmail.com. And, yeah, give me a buzz, give me a email, and let's chat.
Well, I'll tell you what, a lot of things go together, peanut butter and jelly. Tim McCarver and Steve Carlton, and you and I doing this each and every Tuesday, it's a blessing. To say the least, man, I am so blessed to be doing this with you, my brother. Hey, a lot of things to talk about. I want to get into the superstitions of baseball because, you know, this show, we cover a lot. A lot of people just, you know, it's like they'll ask the questions, why you struck out, why did you have a bad pitching performance? We touch everything. And next week on the show, we're going to be talking about fans and fanatics, and that'll be a good one too. But stolen bases and superstitions today, I want to talk about the superstitions. I'm sure you've seen a lot of them. I'm sure maybe you've had one. If you're going to play 162 games in a season, maybe almost 200 if you count these exhibition games, you got to have some kind of quirkiness. You got to have some kind of thing that carries you through the peaks and valleys of a long season.
Oh my God, I can't even tell you the superstitions that are in baseball. We'll get through it here, but it was. I mean, you know, one of my superstitions was there's no such thing as a superstition, and I did so many things the same way, or tried to do so many things the same way from the night before the game I started. During getting up in the morning. Probably don't want to hear this, but one of my things was I'd like to have 3 beers the night before I pitched. And it was just a relaxing thing to put me out a little bit and, go to sleep and relax. Next day, my shower in the morning, I always had to make sure that no way I dropped the soap. I don't know why it was, but I dropped the soap. If I dropped that soap, it was like, oh my God, not good. I had to use soap, but I had to use soap. You know, it wasn't like you use the washer. I had to use soap to do it. And I always had the same things to eat before, prior to. When I was in Japan, I always had a Big Mac, believe it or not. That was I'd have a Big Mac with fries and an hot apple pie. But one of the craziest things that I had over all the years I played is I still always wore the same gym shorts under my uniform, the same ones I had from college. And these clubhouse guys are like, Kip, you got to get rid of those shorts. I said, I can't get rid of those shorts. I got to wear them underneath. That's all I wore. I didn't wear a jock. I didn't wear anything. I just wore those shorts underneath. And it was, the superstitions is, you know, you got to wear the same everything. You got to do everything. Yeah. Raul Mund was crazy with his superstitions. I mean, if he didn't feel like he took the right step up the step out of the dugout, he'd back up and walk backwards and do it again. And he'd just sit there watching, do it over and over until he felt it was right to get up to hit. And so there's a lot of quirky superstitions out there, but they're fun to watch, especially when you have somebody that really shows them off like Mondesi does. Like mine, I never touched the line when I walked out or come off the mound. I wouldn't touch the line. I never would jump over it, but I would make sure that I stepped over it. And because I didn't want anybody to know that I didn't want to touch that line, so I would just step over it, not walk over it. But yeah, there's
well, you bring up
baseball.
Some interesting. Yeah, you bring up some great points, and I'll tell you, you know, we'll get into some more of these because this is going to be a good topic to break down. But I remember the first year I played hockey, and I was blessed. I had a goals against average of 1.9, so I gave up, I think, 19 goals in 10 games, and we were winning. Like, we came out of the gate, we won 7 in a row. And my superstition was not only talking to the goalpost before each game and thanking them for that save if it hit the crossbar, but also not changing that shirt and not washing it. And, man, oh, man, my wife said, well, that's called compulsive disorders. I said, no, that's superstition. So it's one of those things, Kip, where you roll whatever. And then I remember we lost, and then the whole team came unraveled because we lost. We had one loss, but, we had a good, team where we all rose above it and said, hey, guys, one loss is not going to determine the season here. We rebounded. We ended up winning, I think, the last three games or something, and then won in the playoffs and blessed enough to take the MVP trophy home. But I will tell you this, and we'll get into this too, when you go through these superstitions and they don't work out, the other day we just saw Outman swing in the cage in Dodger Stadium, broke a bat, favored bat that he hit home runs, and was pissed the whole day, it seemed like. But then he came out with a new bat and hit a home run. So I guess he's going to wrap that up and sleep with it, I would imagine. But there's so many things. And you know what it is, Kip? People don't realize it. They think, well, these things are stupid. But it the longest season in any of the four major sports is baseball. We've talked about that. We've also talked about it's the hardest thing to do in life. But you need a break. You need the quirks. You need these kind of things to get through. Maybe not stepping on the line. I would do it if I was a baseball pitcher, and I've always said this, when God decides to send me back down after he takes me up there, I would probably come in from the bullpen, do the sign of the cross, come out the broken glass, and just walk, absorb it, and just kind of just, it's me and the catcher, put the earplugs in, block out the noise, and just focus on, I'm going to get this guy out, 1, 2, 3. That's it. I'm going to focus on that guy's glove where he's setting up and blow this guy down. And I'm sure everybody has their own things, but warming up in the pen, I mean, the things, I mean, that is great. And just hearing these lunatics yell at you as you're warming up, and then you come in, and back then you had the bullpen things or the little cars to drive you in. Now you can walk. I would probably walk it from the bullpen. I want to just absorb it. I don't want to run up, but I know now with the time clock and everything, we got to kind of run. But I would just absorb it with the crowd and everything and just get on that pitching mound and just kind of, maybe pull an Al Roboski, just kind of give a snare down. But you've seen it all, my friend, and not only the Mondesis, but some of these other guys, with the shorts and everything, not dropping the soap. There's going to be some other ones out there, the burning of the bats, the cleats, whatever, just to say, hey, man, I'm having a 0-for-24 slump as a hitter, or my ERA has rose to 7. I'm going to burn this jersey.
Oh, God, there's so many superstitions out there. I mean, guys have to make sure they put their pants on the right leg every time. They got to tie their shoe a certain way. I mean, it's nonstop. I had the same thing as you did with the shirt when I was in junior college. I wouldn't wash that. Wouldn't wash it. It got so bad to the point where I could actually stand it up in my locker. It was so bad. And finally, my one roommate, he took it and stole it from me and washed it for me. And it was crazy. But another from way back when I was in Legion Baseball back in Gearing, Nebraska, I remember my second year. We actually won the state championship that year. We went 12-0 to start the season, and we lost our 13th game. And my one brother says, you guys couldn't win that game. There's no way you're going to win that game. What do you mean we couldn't win the game? He says, it was the 13th game. You can't win number 13. And I've always remembered that, what people think. And it's just, superstitions are just kind of what's in your head and what works. But the other thing about it is, if it's working, why would you change it? And, you know, so that's why I've always said I don't believe in superstitions, because I'm just doing what works, basically. And it's worked for me, but you got to keep doing it, so everybody calls it a superstition. But, you know, that I spoke of Al Hrabowski. He was so much fun to watch when he was at the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah.
He was doing his little thing behind the mound, and he'd pound his glove and turn around. And I don't know if you ever saw the one episode or the one time when he wanted a new baseball from the umpire. And he threw one out, so he threw it back. He didn't like it. And so next thing you know, Hrabowski rolled to him, and so the umpire rolls it back to him the same way. They just went back and forth. But that's in old baseball. That doesn't happen in today's game anymore, because the characters now are about themselves instead of about the game. And so, you know, Al Hrabowski was fun to watch. And people would say, well, you know, he's showing up and this and that. Well, no, that's just what he did back in the day to get himself ready to pitch. That was his superstition to pound his glove and get fired up. And, you know, today it's more about, you know, look at me, you know, rounding the bases and pimping it and throwing their bats around and stuff like that. I wish everybody had something unique for themselves instead of doing the same things in today's game.
Right.
But these superstitions, man, you could probably just say anything and somebody had done it in baseball over the years. It's just like you said, the bats, you know, you got to have that same bat in batting practice or it's not going to work. Using, you know, people write different things on their gloves or on their hats. It's nonstop everything. But yeah, I played with some guys. Like I said, Mondesi was off the charts with his soup. He always had to eat oranges. He'd have a bag of oranges before the games, and he'd peel those oranges. He'd eat the whole bag of oranges before the game. the whole bag. But that was his thing, you know. He had to do it. He just said, did you go over and say, hey, Ralph, buddy, can I help? No, I got this. You know, and he was a great guy. He was a great teammate. But superstitions are fun, and they're great to have. And that's why I say they're not superstitions, because they're just, if it works, why would you change it?
Well, not only that, next week when we get into fans and fanatics, I got a nice little story I'll tease the listeners with right now that – I was down there in the bullpen one time when Al Hrabowski was with the Cardinals, and he was warming up, and somebody said something to him, and all of a sudden he took that folding chair and threw it to the back end of that bullpen at Dodger Stadium. So it was interesting. And now the way Dodger Stadium is, we'll talk about that next week, but the way it's set up now is these fans can really hang in there. So just to give the people that are listening today preview, fans and fanatics. And that'll be a good one next week. To finish up on the superstitions, with the gloves, with the hats, with stuff like that, maybe it's a good luck charm, maybe it's an old rabbit foot, anything like that in the days that you kind of carried on to the mound, whether it was Cincinnati, Houston, Boston, L.A., Japan?
Well, you know what, I just always did the same things, and it was like I said, I'd make sure I had my couple beers the night before. By the way, I want to go back for Al Hrabowski a second. I just want everybody to know that his nickname was the Mad Hungarian. Just
Mad Hungarian,
Who he was? That's who Al Hrabowski was, and his name fit his character and his personality just that way. So I wanted to get there, but yeah, the superstitions. I mean, I can't remember, it was the Yankees, I think, way back when, the first baseman, during the game, he would always pick up strands of the string from when they drug the field. And he'd pick those up, and he always picked up the same amount of that. I know golfers that always have the exact amount of change in their pockets when they're playing, and it's for their kids. They got to have like a dime and a nickel and a quarter and whatever. And if they don't have that, then the balls, you know, everybody in golf also, they have the people write a certain, you know, name or something on that golf ball, and that's their superstition. So all sports have it. It's not just baseball. It's not just hockey. All sports have it. I would love to know some of these football superstitions. What was the one guy way back when? I can't remember his name, but he'd always get on the bus already dressed. He wouldn't dress at the field.
Yeah, I can't think of his. Yeah, I know who you're talking about now.
But it's the craziest world out there in sports, because like you said, Mark, you know, baseball is such a long season. You know, it's 7.5 months long, And today it's probably even longer because everybody starts working out even, you know, way, way before spring training than they did back in the day. But you've got to do different things just to break the monotony of just going out and playing every day, you know. And it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. You're just not going to finish right. And so little nuances of having superstitions and eating. I mean, Wade Boggs ate chicken before every game he played.
Yeah.
Every game he had chicken. And, you know, it's like, God, don't you get tired of chicken? Well, no, the guy's in the Hall of Fame. No, he didn't get tired of eating chicken. You know, it's just stuff like that that people do and say and you know, just like a pitcher throwing a no-hitter. Nobody talks to him in the dugout. They're not even going to sit by him. Or, you know, they're like, I got to get away from this guy. He's got a no-hitter going, you know. And then you hear a broadcaster on the radio or on TV bring it up, and next thing you know, they give up a hit, and everybody's like, see, he just broke up the no-hitter. Well, he didn't break up the no-hitter, but because he said that at the perfect time, that, you know, you kind of blame it on the guy. But, you know, the nuances in baseball are just funny, quacky, and they're fun to see over the course of a season, over the course of a career. They really are.
Well, not only that, as a pitcher – here's another thing I would probably go after if I was a pitcher, and I'm sure you probably did it too, is you chase that ERA title. You chase the strikeout title. I know they're individual things, but it's also something that keeps the season going too. And that, you know, when I was playing goalie, I'm looking around, okay, maybe scouting the game beforehand. This goalie's, you know, percentage points behind me. He's giving up two. I got to kind of keep on like them. And it becomes I don't want to say a scoreboard watching to a certain extent, but it comes down to individual where you're trying to compete with whoever's outlasting you or behind you. Did you ever find that out when you were pitching, is if you were closer to strikeouts or whatever, maybe it was a franchise record, maybe it was something else, maybe it was a nine-inning thing. Did you ever put yourself in one of those things where, you know what, let me, you know, pinpoint this. This will take a lot of the stress off or the pressure off me today. I'll concentrate on this. There's a lot of things I can concentrate. That could be a superstition, can't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, it's basically a game within a game, you know, what you're talking about with the stats and all that. You know, one of the things I always, always, always did, first of all, I wasn't a stat guy, and I refused to look at the stats if I was going good. If I was going good, I'm like, well, why do I want to look at the stats? Because I'm going good and everything's working right. I don't want to see those stats. In the back of your mind, you kind of want to see them just because of how good you are going. But in the other sense, it's like it's part of the thing. Once it's part of the whole gig is once you expose yourself to something like that, it's almost like you're going backwards and giving in. And so that's why then you're not playing well again, is because you know, just like somebody talking about how good they are. Next thing you know, they get ripped or they have a couple bad games in a row. And it's like you're exposing your inner feelings and what you're thinking and doing. And once you do, it's out there for everybody to see. And now you don't go as good anymore because you not only let it out yourself, but now they're going to try harder against you. So what you're saying as far as all that, yeah, you always have a game within a game. You want to win games. You want to be better than the other guy. You want to be better than the guy on the other teams. So that's just part of being competitive in sports. And so, I mean, everybody wants to have good stats, not a doubt about it. But to me, if you could have all the good stats you wanted, if your team didn't win, I didn't care. I really didn't. I was like, man, we lost the game. We lost.
Right,
the game. We went
over
this one time. I was in Chicago one time, Cubs, and I got out of the game and I pitched really well. And one of the veterans came up to me and said, hey, Kip, why are you down right now? He said, you pitched really well. I'm looking around like, we just lost the game. You know, and it wasn't about me. It's always been about a team game. And if you can do that, those stats are always going to come in the end. If your team wins, your stats are going to be there at the end of the season. So I'm with you on that, what you're saying. But at the same time, sometimes I think guys can be too much into the stats.
Right. And that'll be the nice topic into next week, too, with the Fanatics, because those old relic ballparks that you've pitched in, Boston, Chicago. I've never been to Chicago's. I've been to Boston's, but man, though, it just seems like those fans can be on you, and that'll be a good story next week to talk about that. The other thing is, the other day I'm sitting there watching Atlanta and the Mets, and I'm saying to myself, they could have put a better game on ESPN than this, but they put on Atlanta and New York. Why not Texas or San Francisco? See Bochy go back to San Francisco, but they gave us the Braves and Mets, so Max Fried, you know, was pitching a good game. He was taken out. I could see the frustration, and you talk about the game within the game, and you're saying to yourself, okay, I've got through five, let me get through six. I just gave up a walk. Come on, Skip, let me just go another two batters. He breaks your bubble, you go out. It's frustrating, disappointment. I know it's for the team, but does that kind of linger a little, or just lingers just to that point till you get out of that inning and you escape it and you're in, you know, you're content on being still up there to win the game rather than have the game blown from you?
Well, it pisses you off when a manager comes out and takes you out, yeah, when you're pitching well, because you're pitching well and you know you're doing all you have to do, and you know the hitters already. And you know, in today's game, it's more about, you know, I got to get through two rounds of the lineup, two times around the lineup. But the third time, it's like, okay, we got to get you out of there because of the stat heads and all the analytics going on.
Yeah.
And so there's a problem with that in the game, in my opinion, because if a guy is pitching well, he's got good stuff that day. So let his good stuff get those hitters out. He's not getting them out just because he only faced them once or two times around the lineup. He's getting them out because his stuff is better that day. And that's the whole thing. There's days, you know, look at Nolan Ryan. He had seven no-hitters in his career. And he, I don't know how many times he had one hitters or had a one hitter taker or no hitter taken,
yeah,
out in the seventh inning. He had good stuff that day. Let him pitch, and that's what they did. They let him pitch. And
yeah,
how many times you see the last 5 years they take out a guy with a no hitter or a perfect game? Kershaw last.
Exactly.
Year. I mean, I if I was Kershaw last year, I'd have went ballistic if they took him,
yeah,
out after 7 innings of having a perfect game. They said, well,
yeah,
you know, we want him at the ninth in September and October also. Well, you got to get.
Well, not only that, you bring up an interesting point, because I'm saying, and Nolan Ryan had 71 no hitters he took into the seventh inning, and you know, we talked about that. You can't get pitchers to get just through 71 pitches. But here's the baffling thing, Kip. When I look at that stat, okay, yeah, two rounds he's gone through. The third round, oh well, you know, we got to bring in somebody. They're going to figure him out. If you're looking at stats and you're matching your pitching staffs up, aren't you looking at these hitters that they're 0 for 23 against you or 1 for 16 or something? What makes you think they're going to get you to the third round when you have dominated them for 5-6 games up until that point?
Oh, yeah, of course. And that's what they're doing these days. It's like, okay, the third time around, the batting average goes up on you. Well, okay, but let's take it about how about the batting average on this team? Or maybe I've owned this guy for like 7 years now,
yeah,
and he's got three hits off me in his last 30 at-bats. Why are you taking me out? And so that's why I don't like what they do in today's game with all that, because use your pitcher. Now you don't have to use your bullpen as much, and now that bullpen is more fresh for tomorrow, the next day for somebody that might be struggling tomorrow. And it's just crazy. You know, I hate to say this, but I really do believe the Cincinnati Reds 1990 World Championship team that I was on and won a World Series with had a lot to do with this today, because we had you know, the nasty boys with three guys out of the bullpen coming in. You go six innings to start that game, you're going to win the game because you had Bibble, Charlton, and Myers to come in and win the game for you. And I really
not only that, you cut the game in half on them. You know, you go like six innings, one guy comes in the seventh, eighth, and then you close it in the ninth. It was set up that way. Now you start bringing in guys, and sometimes these guys aren't fresh. Sometimes, you know, they're just trying to get them some work. And the problem with that is now you've taken a – and you're right. If I'm a starter, and I'm all for the team, you know, I'm putting the team ahead of everything. But if I've thrown six, seven innings, and they've only got one run off me, hey, Skip, let me keep on going. Now, if I load the bases and there's no outs, I can understand that. But the first batter I'm walking in the eighth inning, you're taking me out, and you're bringing in somebody that hasn't pitched in 2 days. You know, you're sacrificing an opportunity for me to get a shutout or something. I know it's all about the team, but I think you got to take a lot of things in consideration before you go out there and pull that ball from that guy.
If manager in baseball today comes out to me when I've only get up one run in six innings, I mean, I'm like, why are you taking me out? Well, you know, the analytics say that this and that. Well, you know what? How about let's see what happens? You know, let me prove to you that I can do this. I'll give you a quick little game I had. I was pitching in Japan 1 year, and, you know, they do things a little differently over there. And I kind of changed the way they did things over my course of my career over there 5 years. But we had a game. We were playing the Cebu Lions on the road. I'll never forget this. In the first inning, I give up 3 runs. And I come in the dugout, and my interpreter walks over to me, Toshi Shimada. And he says, you're done for the day. I said, what do you mean I'm done for the day? He says, you're out of the game. I said, what do you mean I'm out of the game? It's the first inning. And he says, we gave up 3 runs. I said, so let me hold on here. I said, I've got something in my contract that says if I got a 3 ERA, then I'm going to get a bonus out of you guys. And they said, yeah, but you gave him up in the first inning. I said, so what matters if I give up now or I give up in the ninth inning? I gave up 3 runs. I went back and forth with the manager the entire half inning. And I talked him into back in that game. I went 8 innings, gave up 3 total runs in that game. And I completely changed their mindset about that over there because I said, I'm not coming out of this game, guys. It's not going to happen. I mean, I'm here to pitch. I'm not here to watch somebody else come in and pitch in my game when it's my day to start. I gave up 3 runs. Big deal. That's you guys would be ecstatic if I finished the game with 3 runs, right? Yeah. Okay. Let's go. And 8 innings later, they finally take me out for the ninth inning because they brought in the closer because whatever reason, I don't remember. But it was, that's what I'm getting at is let the guys work and let them pitch. And would you take out a hitter because he struck out his first at bat? No. You take out, right, heavy strike to the second bat? No. You know, you might the third if there's a pitching matchup or something like that. But why is pitching such a relief? Get a reliever in there when the rest of the game isn't. I've never understood that.
Yeah, well, you know what? I look at the pitcher in baseball like I look at the quarterback in football. I mean, it's a very, very important position. Could be like in hockey with the goaltender. You know, you got these important positions, and you know, all eyes are on them. Hey, in the last less than 5 minutes, the stolen base. And you've seen a lot of guys in your heyday. I mean, and we've talked about some of these guys, the Lou Brocks, the Barry Larkins, Billy Hamiltons, the list can go on and on, the Willie Wilsons. I mean, was there anybody that gave you a problem, or you just, if you had a speedster, you're just going to keep wearing them out? You can't wear them out these days because 3 times over, if you don't get them, he's awarded second base. But I always loved the cat and mouse between the pitcher, catcher, the first baseman, and that guy trying to get the upper hand at leading off.
Yeah, you know, the game has completely changed in that matter. We've talked about it before with you know, the new rules have changed things, and now the stolen bases are almost like, what are they, they're like 80-something percenters like that, something like that. It's crazy, the number with the stolen base percentage now. But, you know, back playing then, it was a cat and mouse. There's no doubt. You know the guy's going to go in a certain situation. You know he's probably going to go on a certain count because you're going to throw a breaking ball or something like that, so he's got a little extra time to get to second base. But most people don't understand that when you throw it to first base, and that's why I don't like the rules today, when you're throwing over to first base, you're not trying to pick the guy off. You know, if you get him, you get him. You know, if you get him sleep a little bit or you get him leaning to second base a little bit, you do get him, you know, it's a bonus. But you're not throwing there to pick him off. You're throwing there to maybe get him back a half a step. You know, just as half a step, because it's always such a bang-bang play at second base when they throw there. So if you can get him back a half a step, now you're in his mind a little bit. But your cat-and-mouse game like you're talking about is definite, because now the catcher is setting up a little differently. You're probably going to throw a little bit more fastballs instead of breaking balls because of that runner. But, you know, the one thing I always said, Mark, was I got to get the hitter at the plate. I've always said that. You know, the guy already got himself on somehow. He already beat me somehow. So let's not let him beat me again. Let's get the guy up to bat out instead of the guy running. And because if you don't get him out, now you got two guys on. Maybe you got a 2-run jack or an RBI single or a double from him. So like I said, you got to get them closer to the bag. That half step makes a huge difference in baseball, just a half a step. I mean, how many times you see at first base now? You know, it's just such a close play. They have to go back to replay. And at second base also, they got to go to replay the outer safe. If you just get him a step back, he's going to be out a lot more times than none. So that's all you're doing. But you can't do that in today's game because you only get a throw over twice. And so, and you can't even hold the ball in today's game because you only got 15 seconds or 20 seconds of the runner on base. So the whole thing is just, it's just all set up differently. But at the same time, it's still baseball and you still got to get outs and you still got to play the game. So, but I really like watching the Ricky Henderson, the Lou Brocks, and all those guys back when, because you knew they were going to go. You knew they were going to go. And it was when are they going to go, though? And so it was fun to watch back then. Today, it's just
oh, man.
Game.
unbelievable. As we wind this show down in about 15, 20 seconds, it's getting funner each and every week doing these things as we break things up that we don't even hear on other radio shows. So just to let you know how unique this thing is with you and I doing, it's such a blessing, and I can't say that enough. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you as we reconvene next Tuesday. Fans and fanatics, load the army for that one.
Yep, fans and fanatics. They're a different breed out there, and they're a different breed all over the country depending on what stadium you're going to. So it's a crazy world out there. It's a crazy sports world out there too. So kipgross.com is one way, and beagamer@gmail.com is another way. I look forward to this each and every week, and can't wait to talk next week too.
I love you, brother, dearly. Prayers to everybody in Hawaii. Glad your girlfriend's back. Say hi to the son. We will be doing this next Tuesday, everybody. Fans and fanatics, load up your arsenal for that one. It should be an interesting one. We'll talk about the Relic Ballparks, too. Till then, catch the archive, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. For Kip Gross in Newport, yours truly, Mark Mancini, in Hot Woodland Hills. Have a blessed one. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you very much, Kip. Have a good one, my brother.
Thank you, my brother. Have a good one.
Thank you.